All right. Today, if you'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke, the 8th chapter, as we continue our study through the book of Luke. Today, there's in this particular passage, there's a key word that you'll see used 9 times, and that word is hear. Now, there's a difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? There absolutely is. One of the things I know with my ADD is when I study, I cannot listen to music with words. I can listen to classic music, but if it has words, my mind can't work on 2 things. It has to focus on one or the other. And so today, the scripture is going to talk to us about hearing, and not just hearing, but hearing with a spiritual understanding and a receptivity. Now, that spiritual understanding isn't determined of whether you're a Bible scholar. The understanding is just a realistic understanding of who we are as individuals, who God is, the creator of all things, and what his word has to say to us. And this is very important because in Romans chapter 10, it tells us this: so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can never enter into a relationship with God by faith through grace until we hear his word. So hearing is of utmost importance. That's why it's so important when we come to worship and we come to study that we have to tune our ears in and tune our minds in and tune our hearts in that we might actually hear it and that it wouldn't just pass us by. So, verse 1, soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of that guy, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to the support out of their private means. Now, what we see here is that ministry takes money. Amen? Ministry takes money. Any church, any ministry that seeks to do the work of the Lord requires money. And at this point, Jesus and his 12 were committed to full-time ministry. If you remember, Jesus called his disciples away from their vocation of choice, probably from family vocations. We know Peter as a fisherman, but they had left their traditional sources of income to be in ministry and to serve. And the thing is this, is even ministers have what? Bills. You got to pay the bills. But what we see is that God provided. They were relying upon those who had received ministry from them to, in return, minister to them. And that's really the way it goes is you minister, and as a minister, you get ministered to. And one of the ways that I'm ministered to is the ability to pay my bills. God's ministry is always funded by God's people. Now, we're not going to talk about bivocational. That's a different discussion altogether. And I will say this, I count it a tremendous privilege to be a full-time pastor. I know I have a lot of friends who don't have that privilege, and I count it as a tremendous privilege, and I thank you for that. But the ministry of God is always funded by the people of God. If there's ever a question of why the ministry can't do what it needs to do, should do, could do, it simply is this, is that the people need to fund what God is leading them to do. So Jesus was having his needs met, the 12 were having their needs met. As they ministered, they were ministered to. Verse 4, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke to them in the way of a parable. Parables. As a teacher, I love stories. I'm a picture thinker. What are some simple parables in our lives? I thought about this one. The parable of crying wolf. What do we learn from that parable? Yeah, don't lie, because one time someone's not going to believe you and the wolf's going to eat you. The parable of the ant and the grasshopper. That teaches us to plan ahead. Parables are great tools, and Jesus, being a master teacher, used parables to teach his audience. And the parable was always tied to an event or a process by which his audience would understand. Very, very important. And I've given you a link there today where you can study a little bit more about parables. And this is the parable he taught. The sower went out to sow his seed, and so he sowed. Some fell beside the road. It was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it out. Other seeds fell in the good soil, grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant. Now, the thing about a parable, oh, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. And he said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but the rest it is in a parable. So that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, a parable is very important, but it has to be understandable. You're not teaching anything to anyone if they walk away and they go, "I have no idea what he meant by that." One of my greatest fears is that you would ever leave a morning worship service and go, "I have no idea what he said. I have no way to apply what he said." That's not teaching. That's perhaps entertaining, but the truth is, it's probably just boring. Verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. There's a sower, and the sower is casting seed. Now let's look at this phrase, the word and the word of God. John 1:1-5 says this, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So the Word was with God and is God at the very creation of all that we know. The Word has always been. Secondly, it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word had always been. Now the Word has become flesh. Are you beginning to get the picture? Hebrews 4 says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word had always been, the Word became flesh, and now the Word has the ability to pierce the heart so intently that it actually can separate bone from marrow. Galatians says this, "Now that seed, that word, when it is planted, will always produce fruit." Do you know what produces no fruit is? Litter. Right? If you're a farmer and you plant seed and it produces nothing, you're just littering. Now, it is biodegradable, so you don't have to worry about having your feelings hurt. But Galatians describes to us what the fruit of the word, once it's taken root and matured, will look like. You remember the passage? It said it had produced multifold. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." That's what you can decorate your car about. No law. Lawlessness. Anyway. Verse 12. Y'all are very serious this morning. Verse 12. "Those beside the road are those who have heard. The devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved." So Jesus gives four types of soil conditions. Now, if you can picture with me, as you drive around in the countryside, you can see the field that's been tended, but around it there's always a pathway, either where people will walk or people will drive, but we call it hard pan. If you're a golfer, you never want to hit from the hard pan, because you are going to hurt something. But this is a hard pan. This has been packed down by the traffic of life. Now, if you can picture with me, as Jesus is teaching, a good number of the people in his audience would have been farmers. Now, in this time in history, the way that they would farm is they would take a field and they would clear it of everything that they could see. Now, they might leave a tree, clear it of debris and such. And so the field would be cleared, and then they would simply walk onto the field and begin casting the seed. And then if they had the means to do so, they would go back and furrow the field, hoping that that would turn the seed inwards. Now, we know today, with our modern technology, we would plow the field, plant the seed, and then put it back down. But this was a different effort and a different time. And so you have the hard pan. Now, what are some of the things that will pack down the soil in our lives? Well, disobedience will do it. You know, if we live lives of disobedience to our parents, to our employers, to our law enforcement, to our laws, bad things happen when you're disobedient. Isn't that true? Yes, Jimmy, it is true. Okay, thank you. I'm feeling so validated right now. But bad choices can lead to difficult outcomes, and difficult outcomes can make the pathway of our heart very hard. Another thing that can kind of pack down the soil in our life is disappointment. Disappointment in relationships. Listen, if you read Harlequin romances, they're not anything like that. If you watch rom-com movies, it's not anything like that either. Relationships sometimes can disappoint us and harden the soil of our heart. Religion. Maybe you're here today and you've had a bad experience with religion. My friend, I'm very sorry. But religion sometimes can pack down the soil of our heart. Sometimes just reality of life. Hey, listen, life isn't always good. Life isn't always easy. The roses don't always bloom. And the Cowboys don't always win. But today, disappointment can pack down the soil of our heart. Discouragement. You see, sometimes disobedience can lead to disappointment, and disappointment can lead to discouragement. You just don't want to try anymore. Disencouragement comes with unrealistic and unrealized expectations. Believe it or not, I'm sorry to tell you this, I will never be an astronaut. I know, it broke my heart too. There's just some expectations and hope in life that we don't get to realize. I never get to be king or queen. And so Jesus is talking about the soil of our heart, and this particular soil type it's hard packed, and when the word of God is cast upon it, it lays there. And I'm always amazed at how God provides for the animals of the world, because have you ever driven behind a grain truck at harvest time or seen them parked, and that leftover grain just kind of falls out and it's a bird buffet? And I just look and I go, God, you're so good. That bird has no clue where that came from. It has no clue, that big old truck hanging over it. All it knows is food. But that bird will come, and Jesus says it's like the adversary, Satan, will come, and he'll just take that seed away. He says there's a second soil, and this soil is rocky. The rocky soil, when they hear it, they receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root, or they believe for a while, and in time, temptation to fall away. Now, if you could picture with me a shallow soil. Now, the farmer in Jesus' time wouldn't necessarily have an idea of what was below the soil. They didn't have, you know, all the ability to look and all those things. And so in Israel, there's a tremendous problem of a slate foundation. So they would have a shallow soil over a rocky, deeper part. And so the challenge that you face is this, is you cast the seed. The seed takes root, but the root is shallow. It looks good from the top, but underneath there are no roots. And we know that roots are vitally important for any plant, because roots provide several things. It provides sustenance, moisture, water. It also provides stability. Without roots, you can't stand. And so this plant on the top soil looks good, but underneath is unstable and unsustainable. And Jesus says these people are the type of people that they'll hear the word and they'll get excited about the word, and it'll look like it takes root, but it's really shallow, because when the sun comes out, and the sun here is a picture for us of difficulty, of trial. Very interesting is this, is for a plant, without the sun, the plant cannot live. Amen? You see, as a believer, without the trials of life, we'll never know if we're actually maturing in faith. You've got to practice what you know, or at least be, you know, educated on what you do not know. So the very thing that gives life is the very thing that will take its life. I said this in our 9 o'clock hour. One of the challenges in the capital C church, the universal church, is this, is so many people want to live their life of faith a mile wide and an inch deep, like this soil. The challenge with that is this, is when the storm comes, they can't stand. It'll blow them right over. And so what happens is the evidence is, the truth is evidenced in testing. We only know that we know when we're tested. And we evidence by what we do. So these folks, like I said, they start off, I call them shooting stars. They start off really bright and happy and excited, and they'll kind of fade out. And it's not a knock on them. It's just a process that if we're not careful. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, here's a third one. They cast the seed, and the seed falls among vegetation, and I use the word scrub brush here, West Texas phrase. And so what happens is they hear it, and it begins to take root, but in soon time, all of the scrub brush around it begins to choke it out. It's like going into the forest, and the trees underneath the canopy up top can't grow because it can't get what it needs. Because the trees overshadow it. And if you have scrub brush around a plant, everyone's fighting for what? The same moisture. And so what Jesus says is these are the type of people, they'll hear the word and it'll kind of take root, but the worries of life and the pursuit of life, and not all bad things. Don't hear me say everything in life is bad, but even good things can choke out the best things. Amen? You see, we are constantly wrestling with, are we going to sacrifice the good for the great? Or are we going to give away the great for the good? And so what we see here is when this plant takes root, but when the scrub brush begins to grow in around it, it begins to doubt. And this person can begin to doubt whether they're a person who are pursuing the Lord and understanding the Lord, or whether it's a young believer, they begin to have doubts. Is this really true? Is this really real? Am I really feeling what I'm feeling? These sorts of things. They can have distraction. Like I said this morning, every single one of you here had someplace you could be. Someplace good. But you chose to be here. You chose not to be distracted by that for this time. The only one of us who got paid to come to church this morning was me. Well, and Josh. But you see, we can have our lives become filled with distractions, good distractions, but destructive distractions. And what happens is when we go down that pathway of doubt and distraction, before long, the spiritual pursuit becomes duty. Well, I'm going to go to church because I don't want to see Jimmy at Walmart, and you're not going to see me there. And listen, if you don't want to see me, you need to go to Walmart. I had been in a Walmart nearly 4 years. I'm not hating on Walmart. I just got a streak. But I got to go to church. Listen, it's like this. Oh, I got to go to church. We start doing the things that once brought us joy. We start doing the things that once brought us energy. We start doing the things that we once looked forward to doing out of duty. And I want you to know that can reach all the way to the top of any church, including the pastor. And once we reach that duty, then we become disillusioned. That's when we start looking at other people and comparing ourselves to them. And we become disillusioned. Well, the music's too loud. The music's too long. I wish that Jimmy would tuck that flannel shirt in. Man, I just, you know, we start looking for the distractions. How do I know? Well, I once was that guy. And once we start down this pathway, my friend, there's really only one place this ends up. Departure. Because it's one Sunday you go, man, I just, no. I got a lot of good things to do, and, you know, I just can't stand that Taylor Mayfield, and, man, that Jimmy, I'm telling you, you know, mm-mm. Listen, that storm came through, and it woke me up at 1:30, and I was only awake by 3 minutes, but it woke me up. And you fall down that list, and next thing you know, it's departure. And And it's natural. I got to tell you, I've seen it 100 times, 1,000 times. And this is for anyone. It can, let me back up. This can be any one of us. Verse 15. But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, what's that soil look like? We've seen the hard-packed soil. It can't penetrate it. We've seen the shallow soil. You get excited, but it just can't last. It doesn't take root. It doesn't take hold. It's just a season. We've seen the thorny soil that it takes root, but then other things come in and just kind of choke it out. But the good soil, it says when it falls among the good soil, well, first of all, the seed has to be good. If you get seed that is sterile, it's not going to work. You can throw all the seed that you want, but if it's not good seed, it's not going to produce fruit. It doesn't matter where you throw it. So the seed must be good. It must be sound. It must be sacred. It must be true. It must be Jesus. You see, there's a lot of people in our world today throwing seed, but it's not good seed. The seed must be good. It must be true. It must be biblical. Or it might produce fruit, but it's not going to produce good fruit. It's not going to produce desirable fruit. When I was in Ecuador, I had this thing called a tree tomato. No, one sip was enough. It was terrible. And they whipped it up and served it to me in a glass at breakfast. It was all reddish with a foam on top. And I'm thinking, I'm going to try it. One, because I'm going to try it. Two, she sat it there. And I took a sip and... You see, there's a lot of seed being thrown in our world, and there's a lot of fruit being produced in our world, but the question is it biblical fruit? There is a difference. Secondly, there must be a season. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a season for everything. Now, this is what I believe, is the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? I believe any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, anyone, anytime, anywhere, if they come to the Lord on His terms, can be saved. Amen? Now, you would say you could be saved anytime, anywhere. Amen? Does that mean that everywhere, every time people get saved? No. Because if that were the truth, every time KLTY or the Word was on the radio, people would be getting saved like this. The Bible says there's a season for everything. And my friend, there's a season by which we get saved. That doesn't mean there's a time you can and you can't, but I will say this. There's a season by which you will be more apt to hear and respond. You see, the Bible says, for today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You know why? Because that's a hope so. You don't know. I got plans for tomorrow. My bride's got plans for tomorrow. But that's a hope so. Behold, today's the day of salvation. You know why? Because if the Lord is speaking to your heart today, and that seed is being cast on your heart today, my friend, you're not promised tomorrow. The weeds may come tomorrow. The birds may come tomorrow. The sun may come tomorrow. The S-U-N, not the S-O-N. There's a time for all things under heaven. And I believe there's a time and a season by which we are more ripe to be saved. That's why in foxholes and in emergency rooms and the delivery rooms, people look to God, because in moments of crisis, we come to the end of ourselves and we need something greater. And I just want you to know, Oprah ain't it. Fox News ain't it. Democrats, Republicans, independents aren't it. When we get down to the getting down, when the rubber meets the road, there ain't nothing but a knot in the rope of life, humanity looks to a God. There's a season. So it must be sound seed. It must be in season. There must be a submission. The human mind and the human heart must submit to what the seed says. The seed doesn't change to what the heart wants. I love Oregon cherries. I would marry an Oregon cherry. No. I will not. But fear not, my friend, they sent not cherries this year. It's the end of the world. Did I forgot to prophesy that. Anywho, I can plant a cherry seed, and I can want a cherry seed, and I can water what I want to be a cherry seed, but when that comes up to be a pear tree, it's still a pear tree. You see, the seed of God calls the soil to submit to the seed, not the seed to the soil. So many today want to come to Christianity so long as Christianity bends to what they want. My friends, it just doesn't work that way. There also has to be a stability, a sustainability. That's a great word today for our green-mindedness. I'm green-minded myself. The Bible says there will be a sustainability. How do you know when the seed, being good seed, has fallen into the good soil and there's been a submission to the soil? There's a sustainability of fruit. Now, fruit production may rise and fall, but there'll always be fruit. The fruit will always look like the seed. The fruit will always give glory to God. You see, Christians are called to be fruity. That's how I know I am, because I am fruitier than Loops. You know, one of the things we missed at the state fair was deep fried Fruit Loops. I just couldn't do anymore. That last corn dog I put in just out of have to. I did it out of duty. Well, it was good duty. But you see, there's a sustainability. You know someone who's been walking with the Lord for decade after decade after decade. They don't always bat 1,000. They're not always happy. Their life isn't always peaches and cream, but they are sustainable. The seed in the good soil as it's tended to will be sustainable and produce fruit. My friend, if there's no fruit in your life, we need to ask why. You got to ask why. You don't plant an orchard and wait 2 years without going, well, why is there no trees? There's no fruit. We've got to ask the question why. And then once we have that sustainability, then that very same soil that was sown into becomes the sower. Because you see, as Jesus is teaching, he's the living word of God. But Jesus isn't here right now, is he? Where's Jesus today? He's in heaven. Doing what? Come on, don't you know the song? He's preparing a place for you and me. The Bible says that Jesus has gone to prepare a place and he's coming back, and maybe today, amen? But until he comes, he has placed us to be the sower. The sower of what? The sower of sound seed. What seed? Jesus. We become the sower of the seed. You say, well, 2 Timothy tells us this, preach the word. Oh, Jimmy, that's your job. No. It's not just my job. It's all of our job. Be a minister. Well, Jimmy, that's your job. No, that's my title. But the Bible says we are all ministers of the gospel. We are all ministers of the good news. We are all the Johnny Appleseeds of hope, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, mercy, and self-control. Preach the word. Okay, so when do I do that? Because Thanksgiving's coming and I can't stand half the people that's going to be in my house. I can't do that. Preach the word. Somebody over here is feeling what I just said. Preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Well, what does that mean? A, you and I have the responsibility to cast that seed. It's not an option. B, we are to cast it when the soil is ready and when the soil may not be ready. You say, Jimmy, well, if I just knew that person was ready to receive Jesus, I'd go talk to him. Wouldn't we all? We preach the word in season and out of season. God doesn't let us see the heart. Oh, if I could look on the soil of the heart, my job would be 75% easier. Parents, oh, if you could look on the soil of your children's heart when they look at you and they go, Mommy, I'm so sorry. And you look down in the soil of their heart and you're going, you're just sorry you got caught. Huh? Amen. Preach the word in season, out of season. The world goes through its seasons. Some of us are old enough to remember 9/11. You remember 9/11? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Church attendance went what? Pew! But like that shallow soil, it didn't last long, did it? Human nature slides back into what human nature do. Preach the word in season and out of season. And that word will rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Sometimes that seed is an encouragement. My friend, God loves you. And Christ gave his life for you. And he says, I love you enough to receive you just as you are. But I love you enough not to leave you how I find you. Amen? That's encouraging. For the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Well, that's not very exhorting. That sounds almost like a rebuke. I'm so childish when I hear that word, I think of puke. But that's a good word. Listen, you know what? When the world is out of season, the word of God always sounds like a rebuke. But when the world's soil is in season, it always sounds like an encouragement. You say, Jimmy, do you have an example? I'm so glad you asked. Christmas and Easter. The world loves them some Christmas, as do I. I came into the office last week to Christmas music. I found the source of the Christmas music. He goes, I'm sorry, it's cold outside. It's cool outside. And I am my mother's son. I said, brother, just play it. But you know, during the Christmas time, the soil is more receptive. And you know what? They'll tolerate them some Jesus. Everybody loves the story of the three wise men. Come Easter time. You see, it's either the cross or the bunny rabbit. You see, don't tell the world about the cross, because the cross means there's sin. If there's sin, there's an accountability. You see, there's two different things, in season and out of season. But we do it out of love. We do it out of grace. We do it out of mercy. We do it because the word is transforming our lives. We don't do it as people who are perfect, because there's no one who are perfect. We don't do it out of a sense of judgment, because who are we to judge them? Who are we? I'm a sinner saved by grace just like everyone else in the kingdom of God. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like everyone else into the kingdom of God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But it is our privileged responsibility to be a sower of the seed. Acts 1:8 says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. As you're going, little apple seed, cast it. Wherever you're going, at the bank, at the gas station, at lunch, at the doctor's office, at the movie, wherever you're going, cast that seed. Now, my question for us as we close is this. We have two types of individuals. We have those who are hearing the word but have not yet responded to the word. And we have those who have heard the word, responded to it. But we as believers have a constant challenge of tending the soil. So my question to us is this. Which soil are you? Is life trampling down the soil of your heart? Is it becoming firm and hard where the word of God and the things of God are falling on that hardened soil? And are you here today and you've never met Christ on his terms? You've never trusted him as your Savior? And you know, just life, man, just life. And your heart is just hard. And how do I know that? I was there. I was that. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer and life's just been really hard. There's just things and the soil of your heart is just not getting tended to as it should, and it's just kind of getting kind of hard? Or is the soil of your heart the shallow soil? On the outside it looks good, but on the inside it's just really shallow. And your greatest fear is this, is I don't know if I can make it. This is the cry of the shallow soil. I don't know if I can make it. I really would like to be a Christian, but I don't know if I can make it. You can't make it, but God will make it through you. Are you working to deepen that soil? Are you working to give your life and your spiritual walk the opportunity to take root so when the storm comes, and it will come, my friend, when the storm comes, you can hang on and hold on and hope on Jesus? Or is your soil like the scrub brush? Things in your life are just growing around the spiritual things in your life, and it's just slowly choking it out. The things that once had priority in your life now just get on the shelf with all the other things, and you pick and choose. My friends, my warning to you is this: you can pick and choose for a while, but in a while you're just going to lose. And they're not all bad things. They can be really good things. But is life slowly choking out the spiritual things in your life? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, and you're going, Jimmy, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm feeling what you're saying. But you know what? I didn't come to this church this morning to become a Christian. I didn't come to this church this morning to join this church. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next Sunday, my friend, life will choke that seed right out of you. Behold, today's the day. I'd love to meet you anytime, anywhere, but I can't promise you it'll be after this moment. Or is your heart the soil that is tended and ready? Good soil takes effort. You know how I know that? 6 years ago, my bride and I moved into our home in Caddo. I live in Greenville. I sleep in Caddo. I wept when I had to change my license. And we had a flower bed for the first time in our lives. And Miss Vicki McKinney says, hey, we'd like to help you do your flower bed. We'll get some roses and these things. We're like, well, okay, Miss Vicki, you come on. Now, in my mind, you dig a hole, you stick it in, boom, it's done. I'm a dude. We get out there, and they start prospecting like we're trying to get to China. I mean, digging. I still got a little mound out in the backyard. Digging. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, does it really take this much? And they're digging. And I said, well, Miss Vicki, why do we have to do all this? She goes, listen, you can't have good plants without good soil. And you can't have good soil unless you treat it right and prepare it right. They treated that and they planted those rose bushes and those other things. And they still grow like a monster, Miss Vicki. All week I've been thinking about you. The soil of our heart must be consistently tended if we hope to have it not become hard pan, if we hope for it not to become shallow and weak, if we hope for it not to get choked out by the good and the lesser of good things in our lives. You see, you have a choice. How's the soil of your heart? Like I said, I'd love to be able to look into your heart and tell you, but you know. So we're going to take just a moment, and we're going to try and achieve a moment of privacy between you and your God, where you can answer that question honestly to yourself. Which of those best reflects the soil of your heart? Let's bow our heads for just a moment, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, ask the Lord, God, which one of those am I? The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God will tell you. You ask that question, I have a high level of confidence that right now you're seeing one of those in your own life. Now my question to you is this, is based on the evidence that you requested from God and he has given to you, now what do you do with it? Three out of the four lead to less than ideal circumstances. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, I cast the Word of God into your life and I tell you this, God loves you. Christ gave His life that you might have a relationship with Him. Christ gave His life that you might have purpose in this life and that you might have the promise of one day heaven. Now, my question to you, my friend, is this. What will you do with that seed? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to reach into your wallet. I'm not asking you for anything today, my friend, other than this. What will you do with the truth of God's Word? You can leave it on the ground to be consumed, or you can respond to it. If I were going to respond to that seed in my life like I did over 30 years ago, I would pray something like this in the quietness of my heart. Dear God, I know less about you than what I do know. But God, what I do know is I am dissatisfied. Lord, what I do know is I'm a sinner. I do wrong things, sometimes by choice, sometimes by accident. God, I believe what your messenger has said today. God, I want my heart, I want the soil of my life to be fruitful. God, come into my life and prove to me the promises of your word are true. Jesus, today by faith, I receive you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Give me relationship with you. Give me fellowship with you. Give me a life with you and a life forever one day heaven. Thank you for loving me. My friend, if you're here today, the Bible says that it is by faith through grace we are saved. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith. And you will walk out of here a different person than when you walked in. And it would be my tremendous privilege to help you begin this journey. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that'll take courage. I'll not embarrass you in any way. I give you my word. But if you're here today and you would say to me, Jimmy, today I have received Christ as my personal Savior by faith for the first time in my life, and I want to share that with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up where I could see it? No one looking around. You're just saying to me, Jimmy, today I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would there be anyone? For the rest of us, which soil are we? This is my invitation to you. Brothers and sisters, if you're here today and you'd say, Jimmy, my soil isn't what it could and should be. I recognize that. And I want to commit to the practices of getting back to what God would have me to be. This is my call to you. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just between you and God and your pastor, would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? Jimmy, that's me. My soil just isn't what it should be, and I want to get back to what it is. Would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? Thank you. Anyone else? Pastor, that's me. Father, I thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for the honest evaluation that we can have in our minds and in our hearts. And Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us in this place and those by the webcast and those who will join us by the podcast, Lord, that as we hear your word, that we'll examine our heart, that we'll examine the soil of our life, and that we can be honest and authentic. And Lord, that we might respond as you would have us to respond. Lord, help us to do that for your glory. Lord, help us to do that for our own benefit. And Lord, help us to do that so that we may be casters of seed into a lost and dying world. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be your privileged ambassadors. It's in your name we ask. Amen. Amen.